We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So glad to have you with us today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you want to call in to the program, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And by the way, before we jump into the big stories of the day, I got to brag on our store. We've got some great new ball caps out there of the I'm Politically Incorrect version. You got to check out the store, toddstearns.com, and we have some great hat wear for you this summer. You don't want to get sunburned on the noggin, but got to go check those out over at toddstearns.com. Interesting story that has popped up, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this. We have been watching a violent crime wave across the nation. I mean, it's just out of control. And especially in the Atlanta area, where some of the more wealthier sections of Atlanta are now getting the spillover of the crime. And the challenge for a city like Atlanta, which is one of the top 10 largest cities in the country, the problem is that there are only so many resources to go around. So you have the wealthy suburbs that are paying all of the tax base, and they're the ones that are funding the police and the fire department, but they're the ones not getting the services. They're not getting the protection of the police department because the police officers are busy taking care of crime elsewhere in the city. And a group of folks in one of the suburbs in a place called Buckhead, which really is a beautiful area, it was super wealthy. You have Lenox Mall. You have some incredibly wealthy shops and, you know, Neiman Marcus and those kinds of places. So it's a very tony section of Atlanta, kind of like maybe it's I know our folks in Gainesville, Georgia, and the North Georgia suburbs might be able to help us out here with this, but it's almost like the Beverly Hills of Atlanta. So you have a lot of wealthy people, a lot of celebrities, music stars, athletes, and they live in this area. And the folks at Buckhead are saying, you know what? We're done. We are done. We're done with the crime. It's unbelievable how many shootings there have been at Lenox Mall, which, again, is a high-dollar, high-end mall. But you have all these people coming in from the city. They're taking the subway, and they've got a subway stop right there at the mall, and they come up. They cause all sorts of mayhem, start shooting people up, and then they get back on the subway, and they go back home. And now the people in Buckhead are saying, you know what, we're done here. We want to secede from the state or from the city of Atlanta. And we've had the people involved in this campaign. The guy in charge is named Bill White. And their argument is that they need the right to be able to create their own police force, and that they're concerned that the defund the police movement has really weakened the Atlanta Police Department. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. And Mr. White was on Fox and Friends earlier today, and he said, you know what, we really believe that our city has become a war zone. And he says it's murder and mayhem. And this is what happens when you've got a mayor who votes to defund the police. Now, they want to secede. Get this. According to Fox News, rape in Atlanta up 80%. I mean, this is insane. Burglaries up 26%, robberies up 8%. They are short, the city of Atlanta is short 180 police officers. Now, I don't know what it's like in your communities, and we'd love for you to phone in and give us some reports here, but a lot of these police departments, especially in the larger cities, they're having a hard time finding people that want to work. You've got a lot of police officers that are putting in their papers. They're saying, you know what, we're done here. I want my pension. I'm moving to Florida. And we here in Memphis, I mean, I feel bad that they're down 180 police officers. We're down almost 700 in Memphis, Tennessee. But unfortunately, there are racists on the Memphis City Council, and they don't want to hire white people from outside of Memphis to come and patrol the streets. It's very unfortunate what's going on there. So what happens is that the criminals know this. They're not that stupid, and they see that there are not enough police officers in our major American cities, and so they go in, and it's just like a horde of locusts, a swarm of locusts. It's terrible. And so the folks now are saying, you know what, we've got to secede in Buckhead, Georgia, which is a part of Atlanta, and they're saying we're gone. And you've got state lawmakers, including some Republicans, who are accusing all these people of wanting to secede of being racist. I don't see this as racist. I just see this as people frustrated because the city is not providing a service that they, in fact, are paying for. And it's the same story all over the nation right now. It's unbelievable what's happening. So anyway, we're going to be paying close attention to this. I hope they're able to secede from the city because Atlanta gets what they deserve. It's unfair to place the tax burden on a small group of people. And that's exactly what's happened here. And then they turn around and take away all of the police protection and fire protection from these individuals. So the question is, how many other suburbs around this nation are going to start seceding like that and pulling out? 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. Now, coming up in just a moment, normally we don't have guests in the first hour of the program, but we've got a special guest here. Carrie Lake is running for governor of Arizona. And she was on Fox News Channel last night with Brett Baer. Now, Brett presents himself as a fair and balanced guy, that he doesn't have an opinion one way or the other. But it's very clear, if you watch the guy long enough, he hates Donald Trump. He's probably a closet Democrat. He skews to the left. But now, and look, that was okay, but then his bias started infesting his work. So Carrie Lake is on, and she's running for governor. She's got Trump's endorsement. And here's how this went down. And I will, before we play this, I just want to say how Carrie Lake conducted herself in this hostile interview with Fox News Channel. It is a master's class on how politicians have to smack down the media, but do it in a very nice and polite way. Let's take a listen.
The Washington Post has a story today. It says Arizona GOP candidate who criticized drag queens was once a fan, according to a drag queen. This is the quote. Arizona GOP gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake, who has attacked drag queens as dangerous to children, attended the shows of drag queen Richard Stevens for more than 20 years and once hired him to perform at her home. Do you care to address that?
I do care. I actually do care to address that. And I'm really shocked. I'm actually appalled that Fox News would take defamatory story like that, and we are pursuing legal action against this drag queen. I'm appalled that you would bring that up when you have not talked about our stolen election. You've failed to talk about
that. We just spent three questions, Ms. Lake, talking about this. I just asked you a number of questions about it. I played the Arizona House Speaker.
This is the first of it.
Let's address this story that's in the Washington Post. Every candidate takes tough stories. I'm asking you to respond to it if you'd like to.
I'm happy to address it, but I'm really disappointed in Fox. I thought you were a little better than CNN. This is a person who I covered for decades, 20 years, and he's never been in my home. He says he's been in my home for a drag show. That's ludicrous. He's never been in my home. He's lied. We tried to serve him defamation papers, and he's so shady that we can't even track him down because he's not even welcome at the places that he works.
I'm sorry, but this is the last question I'm going to ask. What about these pictures of you with him, Richard Stevens?
What about the
post? I've performed for Carrie's birthday. I've performed in her home.
That's not true.
I've performed for her at some of the seediest bars in Phoenix. I don't want to ask these questions. I asked you to address them.
I think you do want to ask them, but you don't want to ask about 2,000 mules. I think you do want to ask about this. This is absolutely ludicrous. I'm talking about drag shows in schools. This is what triggered this man. Somebody who goes to a drag show with female impersonators is one thing. We don't want our tax money going into drag shows at school.
Okay, I understand
and
what you're making a difference
the
there, but you're
I'm
saying his allegations are wrong, is
They're
what you're
false.
Saying.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Right.
And I'm really appalled that you would spend time on a false story like that. It's shocking.
Well, I think it's important to have candidates address things that are coming up that might affect a race.
Truly.
And I thought you would appreciate that.
But you didn't
that.
Ask my opponent, the establishment opponent who was here last week, you didn't ask her about her votes to allow illegal alien students to get a lower tuition than American students. You didn't ask her about the 70 plus times that she raised tuition on American students. You didn't ask her any tough questions.
That's
and
not
here
true.
You have me on, and you try to bring a defamatory story out. It's really sad.
Ms.
thought
Licks,
there was hope.
I really appreciate your time. We thought we'd address all issues that are on the table. That is one of them being covered today. We thank you, and we'll cover the primary
thank
August 2nd.
Thank you. Please send reporters out to cover this corrupt election. We would appreciate it.
Oh, you go, girl. Way to go, Carrie Lake. Folks, I'm telling you, Fox has discombobulated here. There's really no polite way of saying this, but they have flushed their respect. They flushed their credentials right down the toilet. So I just want to make sure we all understand here. Bret Baier is going after this woman because apparently she did or did not go to a drag show at a drag bar, as if that's some sort of a scandal. Look, let me explain this for Bret Baier, just so he can understand this. Bret, there's nothing wrong with a grown adult going to a drag bar or going to one of these shows. That's perfectly, you know what? That is covered under the United States Constitution. Would I go? Absolutely not. But you know what? If Carrie Lake wants to go, why is that a news story? There's a big difference between a grown adult going to an adult bar to watch a drag show. There's a big difference between that and drag queens going into a public school, Bret Baier, and cavorting with children and grooming the children to be drag queens. And if you can't understand the difference there, sir, you don't deserve to be on Market 381 television, much less Fox News Channel. Gotta take a break. Carrie Lake coming up next.
Happy New Year, friends. 2022 is going to be a critical year for America and for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, along with their nearly 2 million members, like me. The fight to stop out-of-control spending in the president's Build Back Better scheme is far from over. Congress is plotting more legislation that could hurt our seniors, and the midterm elections will be a battle for freedom versus socialism. Unlike liberal groups, AMAC is America's conservative action-oriented 50-plus organization fighting hard every day in Washington and across the nation for our seniors. I'm urging you to choose AMAC now. You'll receive all the great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, and your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/Todd. Again, that's amac.us/Todd to become an AMAC member now.
Folks, welcome back. Want to go directly to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from Arizona, Carrie Lake. Carrie, we first welcome to the program. We just played this back and forth between you and Bret Baier. What a nasty thing Fox News tried to do to you yesterday, and well done on your response.
Well, I was excited to be on. I'm going to be honest. I've not been invited on Fox. I am the far away front runner. And the governor's race here in Arizona, I'm endorsed by President Trump, and they've never invited me on.
They had my Rhino opponent on, even when she was polling at 2%, but they've never had me on. So I was actually looking forward to it. I was looking forward to talking about the issues that are affecting Arizona. And frankly, because one of our issues is the border, it affects the whole country. But as you can see, he had planned a rollout to kind of go after me. And that's fine. I'm a big girl. I can handle it. They had all the video ready to go, and they had all the graphics made.
Oh, the photos, the expose. I mean, they had, this was a setup, Carrie.
Oh, totally. And you know what? The fake corporate media is so used to push over Republicans that they just don't know what to do when one of us new Trump era Republicans doesn't lie down and take their beatings. And we're not going to take their beatings anymore. I call us the new right, and we're the legacy leaders that came out of President Trump's leadership. And we're not going to sit there and have the fake news attack us and try to twist our words. And so I think they all know by now, because each and every one of these fake news propagandists who stood up to me and tried to bring me down has failed.
So the Associated Press, and again, I want to bring this drag queen story up. First of all, even if this was true, why is this a scandal? There's a big difference between adults going to a drag show and drag queens going into a public school and trying to groom children. And I find it very sad that Fox News Channel can't understand the difference between those two issues.
Amen. I mean, you just said it right there. And the funny thing was, Bret Baier was trying to get me on the photos. The funny part about those photos is they came from my social media. I've never taken anything down. Who I am is who I am. I worked 30 years in media. I have friends from all walks of life. And I left those photos up. I think they're still up there today if you look for them on my social media. So I've never been ashamed of who I am. I am who I am. And he put those out there like it was a big gotcha. It's not a gotcha. I'm concerned as a mom with taxpayer money going to drag shows in our libraries and schools. It's inappropriate. It's wrong. And unfortunately, this performer who's going after me, who used to be a friend, has been radicalized. He is now working for Katie Hobbs, my socialist opponent. And he even told the Washington Post he's bringing this out to injure our campaign. So he's been radicalized. He's called for the death of a sitting GOP congresswoman. He's actively campaigned for Katie Hobbs. And yet Fox trots him out like he's, a god. It's kind of scary where journalism has gone, how low it has sunk into.
What I found fascinating, Carrie, because he kept trying to insert himself into the conversation, but you said something that shut him up when you pointed out, how come we're not talking about 2,000 mules? And he clammed up.
I really did enjoy somebody put together his facial contortions during the interview. Of course, I wasn't watching his face during the interview. I was just, talking to him. But somebody, they put them all together, and it was quite funny. They're very nervous about candidates like me. I'm an America First candidate. I am a citizen politician. I have no desire to have a political career other than to win this race, get in there, turn things around, and get Arizona on the right path. And then I want to retire and enjoy this beautiful state and my family. And they're not used to that. They're used to these political beasts who are part of the machine. They are career politicians, and they're just dying to have a big, long political career. That's not what our founding fathers envisioned, Todd. They envisioned people who went in, represented the people, did the people's work, and then left. And that's what we need to return to, frankly.
No, I completely agree with you on that. And Carrie, we've got about 90 seconds here. The Associated Press out with the story, and they say this whole drag queen thing is, quote, it fuels persistent criticism of Lake's conversion from Barack Obama donor to Donald Trump conservative.
You know what? I've been a registered Republican almost all of my adult life. I registered for 4 years as a Republican. And I did vote for a Democrat. And you know why? I had two little babies on my hips and on both sides. And, holding two little kids in your arm and watching endless wars, I realized that John McCain wasn't going to be the one that would get us out of that. A lot of people are waking up to the lies of the Democrat Party. I'm the only person running for governor right now who voted for Donald J. Trump every time he was on the ballot. My opponents have not. They are old school swamp creatures. And I think it's ridiculous they're trying to tell people who've woken up to the lies of the Democrat Party they can't come in and be Republicans. I welcome each and every person who wakes up to the Democrat lies. I want you in the party. I want your vote.
Including the drag queens. You know, you got to get the votes.
And maybe we can wake him up and have him come over to the party of common sense.
All right. Carrie, got to run. Good luck out there. Carrie Lake, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
It's sad. It's really sad what's happening over at Fox News. But that's why I hope you're making the switch over to Newsmax. At least we've got a fighting chance over there for some fair and balanced journalism. But it was clear to me that that was an ambush. And we know it was an ambush because they had all the photographs ready in the graphics and they had the video there. And it, look, I don't care if you support Carrie Lake or not. I mean, what, I don't have a dog in the hunt there. I'm in Tennessee. I'm not in Arizona. So that's up for you. That's up to you people to decide. But there is something called fairness. I mean, look, you got Brian Kilmeade, and this is what kills me. These guys made a name for themselves by embracing Donald Trump. They're the ones. They brought him in. They worshiped at his feet. And then when it was politically expedient, they turned on him, just like Brian Kilmeade, the Fox News radio host. Take a listen.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes is where you could have a counter argument. For example, we all work for people or work with people that sometimes fly off the handle. You know, you kind of wait it out, count to 10, you go back to them a little bit later. Now that you're calm, what do you think? You hear that's the way the president often works. We're gonna build that wall. I don't care how much it costs. I'll take it out of my pocket. Of course, that's not the story. A little bit later, comes out and goes, how do we get this done? So a lot of this stuff to put in Trump terms, the way he ran his White House, to have someone come back and go, yeah, president says a lot of stuff. Sometimes he says, you know, this lunchroom's a mess. If we don't clean this up, it's going to turn into a closet. That doesn't mean it's fact. It's a guy just speaking within the confines of the Oval Office. So it would have helped to have pushback. But once again, the president was unhinged during that period. I interviewed him at West Point, and he was kind enough to give me a few minutes. I've never seen him so angry. That was in between the election and January 6th. As soon as we were done, he just stormed off. And you know how long I've known him for 15 years or 20 years prior to him going to the White House.
Okay.
I've never seen him so angry.
Yeah.
So he's convinced he was robbed. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
But I
convinced.
Have not seen any evidence, and these are all incremental examples.
All right.
Now, the good news here is that most of the Fox audience, I would say, is smart enough to know what's going on here. They know that, by and large, most of the people that are in the conservative media world are being paid to be a conservative. There's a big difference from being a conservative and being paid to be a conservative. And that's what I think is happening at Fox News right now. They are shifting. And they're going to go where the money goes. But I think even if the money starts to dry up, they're going to pull a CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Oh, thanks, Judge Joe Brown. And they're going to continue that leftward surge because, again, they're on a mission now. Over the past decade, Fox has hired a number of far-left producers and associate producers, a lot of people behind the scenes that are actually writing the copy, doing the research, assigning the stories, and those people are flaming leftists. Wouldn't be surprised if they had a couple of communists working in the building. So it's sad to say, and I know many people are always surprised when they hear these kinds of things happen, but it is it's a pretty precarious situation. You know, I remember the makeup artist and the hairstylist, good friends of mine, and back in the day, they would tell me quietly, you know, people would talk in hushed tones because they didn't want their bosses to know they were, in fact, conservative. I mean, that's how crazy it is over at Fox News right now. So my sympathies to them. 844-747-8868. Excuse me, Grace Baker. Had to sneeze.
I tell you, this summer heat's killing me. Oh. And and here in Memphis, we've just got so much humidity that it's just like insane, because you walk outside and first of all, you feel like you could gulp the air. Secondly, it's so like depressing. Like it literally just is like a blanket.
It's terrible.
And then you're just the sinuses. I've been getting headaches. It's just.
It's about as oppressive as the Biden regime.
Basically. That's a good analogy.
All right. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Oh, Hillary Clinton. She is very upset. By the way, I just want to say something here. I think Hillary Clinton is a racist. As a matter of fact, I think Joe Biden is a racist. And I'm working on a chapter in the book about why I believe Joe Biden is a racist, and I provide the evidence. It's not some sort of hyperbole. When you go back and look at his remarks, his comments, his growing up years, all the way back to Corn Pop and when he was a lifeguard, I think these Democrats still hold on to these racist tendencies that their Democrat forefathers had. Now, Hillary Clinton did an interview with CBS, and she was talking about, she's very upset about Justice Clarence Thomas, the black Supreme Court justice. Now, by the way, she's not upset at Sam Alito, who wrote the opinion, right? The white guy. No. She's upset with the black guy.
Justice Thomas has sort of floated that out there about contraceptive rights,
yes,
contraception, and about same-sex marriages. But other justices have pushed back to say, no, he's really sort of on his own with that.
Well,
believe that?
Well, he may be on his own, but he's signaling, as he often did. You know, I went to law school with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger. And he has signaled in the past to lower courts, to state legislatures, find cases, pass laws, get them up. I may not win the first, the second, or the third time, but we're going to keep at it.
So you're saying people pay attention to
this?
Yes,
the people he is speaking to, which are the, you know, right-wing, very conservative judges and justices and state legislatures. And the thing that there's so many things about it that are deeply distressing, but women are going to die, Gail. Women will die.
Women will die. Well, only if they're connected to the Clintons. And for whatever reason, anyone connected with the Clintons in some sort of nefarious scheme, they just suddenly drop dead. So maybe that part of it is true if they're connected to the Clintons. But Hillary Clinton, this is pretty rich, calling the black guy angry. The angry black guy. This is a white woman, Hillary Clinton, calling the black guy on the Supreme Court angry and filled with resentment and a person of grievance. Now, this is sort of rich, considering Hillary Clinton has a pretty long history of being resentful and angry and full of grievance. Cut number 5.
I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but what I decided to do was to fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life.
You know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette. I'm sitting here because I love him and I respect him and I honor what he's been through and what we've been through together. And, you know, if that's not enough for people, then heck, don't vote for him.
Wait, by the way, did you hear the accent? This woman is phony as a $3 bill. Phony! Why, I just love Bill, and I just love cooking fried chicken and working in the kitchen. And now she's like, stand by my man. I'm not going to do that. Really, come on, Hillary. All right, cut number 11.
The great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
And we all remember what happened during the Benghazi hearings.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Why, I do declare, what happened to Miss Hillary's accent? I don't think it's gone away. So again, you want to talk about someone filled with anger and grievance, you're looking at the woman. But let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's just say that Clarence Thomas is filled with grievance. I don't think he is. And you know why? Because he is a man of joy and kindness and compassion, because he's a man of God. He goes to church. He's a devout person in his faith with our Lord. So I don't think he, but let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's just assume that Miss Hillary is correct and that Clarence Thomas is in fact a person filled with anger and resentment. He would be justified. He would be justified. I want you to think about this. Here is a man who was born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, or as Hillary Clinton said, Georgia. He was a man who was raised in the Jim Crow South, a time in the history of this nation where the Deep South was controlled by racist Democrats, a time where blacks could not even go and vote because of the racist Democrats, living in a state, by the way, whose senator stood up and filibustered the Civil Rights Act, a racist Democrat. So, yeah, I could see where he could be filled with grievance because he grew up under the thumb of racist KKK Democrats. So the fact that he's not a person of grievance, quite frankly, is evidence of God's great grace. Important to put out the facts there, folks. But man, are they coming after Clarence Thomas. They're calling him the N-word. They're calling him a house blank. They're calling him a field blank. I have never seen such hate and vitriol. They're calling him Uncle Clarence is what they're calling him. And where is the mainstream media outrage? There is no outrage from the mainstream media. You know why? Because in their minds, if you're a black conservative, then it's okay to subject you to these racial taunts. Shame on all of them. But I think the Democrats truly are racist. I think Hillary Clinton is a racist. And I definitely think Joe Biden is. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Memphis, Tennessee. James listening to us. KWAM, our flagship station. Hey, James, what's on your mind?
Yes. How are you today? Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
But I still think Fox News is still on the bandwagon for Donald Trump. Same as me. Brian Kimmy, he's just one newsman that, for whatever reason, Donald Trump got angry, for as I'm concerned, he had the reason to. But for 4 years, that man has been just lamb blast. And for anybody to be on board these many years going through that, and he ain't shot himself, he ain't did nothing real crazy, I think Donald Trump needs to be upheld, and I do, because I think without him, even if the Republican Party has become stronger, they kind of talk it out. Where back in the past, they were just mumbling about the Democrats. But now we got some staunch Republicans out there on the bandwagon for the truth. And they are not afraid. And I think Fox News was really the cause of that. Other than I listen to Newsmax, too. But Brian Kimmy, I don't think he's... I don't think he's the main one there. I think most of the Fox still love Donald Trump and still for him.
So you think they're still on the Trump bandwagon?
Oh, I think so. I think so. But Donald Trump, man, for him to go through what he went through, and he still haven't got anything. They still haven't found out anything that we can put in the force to really to see that all these lies that was told for 4 years and no accountability nowhere. And I think that's a travesty for America.
I'm just curious about something, James. As a black conservative in Memphis, have you come under attack? I mean, do other black conservatives in this area feel, or do they have to watch what they say in public?
Oh, no, I'm the kind of guy, I don't watch what I say. I say what I want to say, and I do it with my chest out because I could care less about anything that, because it's really, conservatism is just common sense. I think everybody in my family was conservative because they didn't spend a lot of, they was more of a saver. They saved money. They didn't spend money. So you can't be more conservative than that when you don't spend your money.
Well, that's a good point.
But to me, conservatism is really just common sense. And I just don't understand how these people can even think the way they think, but that's just up to them. And we found out in history that people have always been backwards in their thoughts. Because that's why the world is so messed up.
James, it's a good point.
I appreciate your conversation.
James, don't hang up. I want to send you a copy of my book, Culture Jihad, and Grace is going to get all your contact information. And Grace, let's do that. Send James a copy of my book there. A lot of common sense in what James had to say. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. Do you believe, as James does, that Trump is still, or that Fox News is still on the Trump bandwagon? Well, after Roe, America will never be the same. And all this week, Greta Van Susteren is on Newsmax looking at America after Roe. Find out how abortion will change the 2022 and 2024 elections, the implications for Trump, and a lot more. Greta's on at 6 o'clock Eastern every weeknight with her new show, The Record, with Greta Van Susteren. And she leads a great night on Newsmax with Rob Schmidt exposing Biden's economic train wreck and Eric Bolling warning of the dangers of a world war with Ukraine, Iran, and China. Millions have made the switch to Newsmax. It's on all major cable and streaming platforms. And folks, you can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can watch it anytime, anywhere. So tune in to Newsmax tonight, every day. Make the switch to Newsmax.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a solution to the big abortion controversy. She wants to turn our national parks into abortion clinics. So you can go and you can pitch a tent and then you can go and abort your child there at the, I don't know, the ranger station. I don't know how that's going to work out. But anyway, AOC says she wants to open abortion clinics on federal lands in red states. We'll see how that goes. Let's go to the phones here. Central Arkansas, Steve wants to weigh in on Fox News. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Todd. I wonder how much that Fox News' new woke attitude has to do with being able to sell advertising to these woke corporations. I mean, Mike Lindell can only afford to buy so many ads on Fox News. I wonder if they aren't getting pressure from corporate America to get in line, or we're going to blackball you as far as buying any advertising.
Well, there's no doubt that that does factor into this. I mean, it really is about the bottom line. And there are a lot of companies that simply refuse. They boycott prime time over at Fox News. They don't want to be on Tucker's show. They don't want to be on Sean's show. And sooner or later, that does make an impact, Steve, because they've got to make money. And so I have no doubt that they're putting the political and financial pressure on Fox to move to the center left.
Exactly. High ratings don't mean anything unless you convert that into advertising money.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, you can have the largest. And look, that's what happened to Glenn Beck, by the way. Had a massive audience. But, again, the advertisers would not advertise. Steve, got to run. Appreciate the call. Folks, 844-747-8868. That is our phone number. By the way, during the break, great moment for you to head over and sign up for the newsletter as well as our podcast. So a great resources free of charge over at ToddStarnes.com. Governor Kristi Noem coming up. Also, Chad Conley from Faith Wins. It's going to be a fun hour. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you see Hillary Clinton on television, what I think about is all the what-ifs from 2016. What could have been different? It was a small number of people that swung the election. She won the popular vote. If people had gone to the polls, three Supreme Court justices that had been appointed by Donald Trump might have been appointed by her. Mm-hmm. We don't have this decision today.
Exactly right
about
right.
That. Yeah, she's spot on. She said we're turning back the clock.
All right. Those are the folks over at CBS, and they get it. They understand what really happened back in 2016. They understand what was at stake back in the day. I'm not too sure a lot of these never Trump Republicans or these woke evangelicals actually get it, but that's what was at stake here. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well wherever you might be. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have a good friend of this program, Chad Conley. He is with an incredible group called Faith Wins. He has been traveling all over America and has been recruiting folks to get involved in the political process. Chad, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, how you doing, brother? Great to be here. And, man, I'm so honored and proud of what you're doing and proud to be another Bible-clinging, gun-toting American with you, brother.
Chad, yes, I haven't heard that in a long time, but it's true. And we need more of us out there. Chad, I want you to let our listeners know what you've been doing. You guys have been traveling all over America. What is the message that you're bringing with you?
Yeah, the message is, Todd, don't leave a stone unturned. We don't tell people who to vote for, but we're pushing pastors to hold nonpartisan voter registration in the churches. You probably know, I told you a little bit about it. We got 312 churches in Virginia who registered 77,000 evangelicals who had never voted before. And I don't know if it made a difference or not, but a guy named Youngkin, who led prayers in Jesus' name in his inauguration, won by 63,800 and something. So maybe those 77,000 new evangelicals helped. But our little team's registered a little over 1 million new evangelicals in the last 2 years. Our goal is to do another 2 million this year because we cannot leave a stone unturned. Every Christian needs to be voting. So we ask them two things. Make sure everybody in your church is registered. And number two, make sure they vote biblical values. That's it.
These are phenomenal numbers. I'm just surprised that a lot of these people were not registered to vote in the first place. What's the reason that people are telling you maybe why they weren't registered to begin with?
You know, it's stunning. It's two things. It's number one, they think their vote doesn't matter. And number two, their pastor assumes they're all registered. You probably know a pastor buddy of ours in Asheville, North Carolina, a couple thousand people in the church. He said, Chad, my people are registered. And I said, Pastor, double dog dare you. Do it back-to-back Sundays. Put a table out there. I'll get you the materials. I'll send you the links. And he had over 400 people in his church. He was shocked. And I can tell that story everywhere. I was in Macon, Georgia this weekend. I told him the same thing. I spoke three times in a church in Macon. And I said, just hold voter registration. And, Todd, we did that throughout Virginia. You know, there's there are probably 10,000 churches in the state of Virginia. We found 312 exactly, and I'm sure others did it, but we measured 312, and we followed up with texts and emails and even phone calls. Hey, Pastor, I don't have to have exact the number, but give me about how many people registered, and we measured 77,000 people, and we went to the rural areas, and we decided we're going to run up the score. We're going to make sure Christians vote. And, of course, guess what happened? People came out of the woodwork, and even the state house flipped.
This is phenomenal, because when people of faith get out and vote, they engage in the political process, they really can make a difference.
You know, and I guess they don't realize it, Todd. We all live in our bubble, and we think everybody's doing this. But I think what we saw in Virginia, and I've been in 17 states so far this year, even been in the People's Republics of California and New Jersey. God's people are coming awake. And the people in New Jersey said, Chad, you don't have the same pastor network that you have in Virginia and other states. I said, nobody else does here either, y'all. Why don't you give it a try? We're not asking you to charge the beach on D-Day and face the withering German machine gun fire, march down to Trenton on Christmas night to attack the Hessians. We're asking you to, number one, register everybody in your church, and number two, make sure they vote biblical values. And, of course, the catch is, the hook, I guess, for the pastor, when they talk about the importance of voter registration, people remember the importance of voting and voting biblical values. And, of course, you and I know if we just talk to them about life and marriage and Israel and religious liberty, then good things happen, as we saw in the last week with the Supreme Court. It's just a thank you, Jesus moment for the legacy of President Trump being secured, putting all those conservative judges in place, and America is turning. But I got to tell you, man, all these states I've been in, everywhere I've been, I was in Colorado, California, I've been in New Jersey and Ohio and Michigan and Minneapolis, Minnesota, people are coming alive. I've been in Florida and Georgia, North Carolina, and I can't even remember them all. People are coming out of the woodwork saying, I am sorry, I've never engaged, but everything that's going on, now's the time to engage. So God's doing something, brother.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Chad Conley. And, Chad, give us the website address. Where can people go if they want to get involved, if they're a pastor, where they can get some info?
Yes, sir. Faith Wins, F-A-I-T-H, faithwins.us is our website. We've got videos on there. We got links. And, Todd, as you know, I'm dragging around a guy named David Barton, who I believe is American.
Oh, Lord.
Christian historian.
Barton out there?
I got Barton. We're going to probably get 100 meetings in 20 or 21 states between now and the election. So if people watch my faithwins.us site, we've got some dates in July, but, of course, we're packing them in September and October, and we're probably going to be in one of the states where people are listening right now.
Well, I love David Barton. He's a good friend, but I got to tell you, he talks faster than Ben Shapiro.
He's fast.
He gets a lot
incredible.
Of... It's like a Gatling gun, you know.
It is, but he's the best. And people just come awake when they realize God's role in America is irreplaceable. And we've forgotten that. It's been lied about. It's been glossed over and covered up. So tell people to come out. If they watch that faithwins.us site, and they go on there and they can sign up to take action, they'll get an email when we're coming to their state. They can come and join us.
You know, Chad, what I find fascinating, and especially about this time in the Republican Party, I mean, there is still a debate over whether or not evangelicals should have a voice in the party. And I find that ironic because I think now, I mean, and again, this was going back before the moral majority. I think the argument could be made that the base of the party would be the Rockefeller Republicans. But I think the shift has happened, and I think the evangelicals are, in fact, the base of the party now.
100%. Look, we're like, 50 or 52% of the primary vote, 30 or 32% of the general election vote. And as you know, and I've shared this with you, I was the first ever National Director of Faith Engagement. And one big reason I left is I didn't see the same dedicated effort. I saw an effort to do faith engagement, and I'm not against them reaching out to every faith, but the evangelical Christian is the base of the conservative movement. There's no doubt about it. It's 100%. You can look at it. And they know, the political types know this, Todd. The number one way to tell a conservative voter, a Republican voter, is regular church attendance. But it seems they want our votes, but always don't want our voices. Well, what I've decided with my 501c3 is we're going to make sure Christian votes and voices are heard and felt at every level in the public arena.
Well, I think this is tremendous work you're doing out there, Chad, and I know our listeners are going to respond. Folks, faithwins.us, that is the website. Chad, we're going to leave it there. We'd love to get you back on and get your insight as we get closer to the midterm elections.
Absolutely, brother. And man, look, I love you and respect you and thankful for your voice, Todd. And anytime I can hop on and talk to you and your folks, you let me know, brother.
I love it. All right, we're just going to get you converted to the UT Vols way of life. And then
That's a tough one. But I'm all in with you, brother.
All right, Chad. God bless.
God bless, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Good man right there. And a great freedom fighter, Chad Connolly. And folks, check out that website, faithwins.us. Got a question for you folks out in the Greensboro, North Carolina area. WSJS is our great affiliate out there. There's a crazy story from the Gateway Pundit. Kristen Taylor is the author. So it looks like the Biden administration just signed a five-year lease to house illegal alien children at a private school campus, and they're using our tax dollars. So they're going to be spending about $42,000 to house these illegals. The campus is the previously known as the American Hebrew Academy in Greensboro, North Carolina. First children are expected to arrive in July. They've signed a five-year lease. So the Biden administration signing a five-year lease to house the illegal alien children at this beautiful 100-acre campus. And this thing is amazing. It's right there on the lake. They have beautiful football field, a track, swimming pools, the whole nine yards. Tennis courts out the wazoo. They also have a large indoor swimming pool at this facility for the illegal alien children. Television station WFMY first reported it. They said that the Hebrew Academy will start housing the illegal children. This was coming from the board of directors. The new leasing deal gives the Department of Health and Human Services and the Office of Refugee Resettlement a space for transitions. The school closed back in 2019, so it used to be the American Hebrew Academy, valued at $84.5 million. And you better believe these kids are going to be in hog heaven over there. Up to 800 people are going to be hired to fulfill functions and provide services, administrators, teachers, counselors. They also need Spanish-speaking workers, so that's going to be even more money that our tax dollars are going to be used for. North Carolina's eight congressmen signed a letter to the Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra, complaining that he misled Congress over the department's intentions about housing illegal alien children in their state. And now they're going to be housing hundreds of them in the Greensboro, North Carolina area. And I am curious. I mean, if you are a mom or a dad, a grandma or a grandpa, and you may know of kids in your neighborhood that are having to go without American children, they're not going to be able to stay at this facility. This facility, which is state of the art, is going to only be used for illegal alien children. I remember several years ago when there was a massive rush on the border of children. They were literally coming to the border and dumping kids. And of course, we've got to take care of them. That's who we are. We're Americans. We take care of people. And I remember going, a pastor took me down to the site. A lot of his church members were nurses in the area, doctors, and so they were working in this military base. The military base had been converted into housing for these children. They were getting state-of-the-art health care, hot meals three times a day. They had access to whatever they needed, fresh clothes, shoes, you name it. And the pastor, as we drove, right outside of the military base was a pretty dilapidated area, a bunch of trailer parks that had been pretty weathered. And he told me, you know what's really sad, Todd, is that inside this facility, the illegal alien children are getting three hot meals a day, and they're getting all of this health care. They're getting all of this new clothing and shoes and whatnot. But he said, right outside the gates here, you've got American children that are going to bed hungry, going to bed wearing ratty clothes. He said, that's not right. That's not right. So I'm curious, you people there in North Carolina, your tax dollars are being used to fund this. Your tax dollars are being used to house all these illegal alien children, and I suspect it's going to be tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow. Oh, wow. Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones here. Keith in North Carolina on the Talk Station. Hey, Keith, what's on your mind?
Well, good afternoon. I want to take exception with something you just said.
Yes, sir.
We have absolutely no obligation to take care of these children, the babies, the adults, the pregnant women. We should put them all on a bus and ship them right back across the border. We have no obligation to them. Now, if we were to invite them in, and don't say Biden is, I mean, literally, if you and I as taxpayers, they come on over, we'll help take care of you. That's one thing. But these people aren't being asked to come in. We're being invaded. Now, we cannot morally put M60 machine guns down there and shoot them as they come across the river. If we did that once or twice in a day or two in a row, it would put a stop to this, but that would be wrong. But putting them back on a bus and shipping them back is not wrong.
Keith, look, I hear what you're saying, but there is a part of me that feels like the child is not responsible. I mean, if you've got a 4- and a 5-year-old child and somebody dumps them at the border, you think we ought to just put them on a bus and ship them back over, or that we should take care of them and try to get them reconnected with their parents?
I think we should put them on a bus and ship them back over and let their parents figure it out. That does sound kind of callous, but we're being invaded, and if we keep being nice to these invaders, they're just going to keep on coming. And they're going to keep on keeping on, as the song says, and they're going to come in ever greater numbers.
Here's where I have a problem, Keith. I got a problem that our government's taking better care of these illegal children than they are some of these American kids that are growing up in poverty.
That's exactly right. That to me is the primary. We have a primary obligation to our own families. Come in, and then we can help take care of other people. If they need help down there, we'll send them some money. They take care of themselves. Don't come up here and put the burden on us.
Well, Keith, we're going to find out what the audience thinks of this. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith says we're under no obligation to take care of these kids. And so if the illegal children show up at the border, put them on a bus and send them right back where they came from. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Connor in Boston. Connor, what say you?
Todd, I'll tell you, when it comes to kids, like little children, I completely disagree with Pete. We have a moral obligation as Americans when it comes to children to take care, to assist them during this period of their life. And they didn't choose this. I mean, they just were dumped here. The adults are a different story, but for the children, you know, they need to eat or they need health care. We need to assist in that. And when it comes to these communities, too, that are living in, that are American citizens that are living awfully, I mean, that's another issue in itself. I mean, that's also a failure of local government as well, too, for letting their communities get to that point. You know, it's just like there needs to be some type of, number one, common sense immigration, you know, when it comes to these adults going across the border, but the children are a different story. And then when it comes to these communities, I mean, like, if you're in your local communities and you're constantly electing somebody who is not getting results for you, you really need to look and, you know, reevaluate that person next time election season comes around and get rid of them.
Connor, we're going to leave it there. We've got to run for a break. Do you agree or disagree, ladies and gentlemen? Keith says, we have no obligation to take care of the children of illegals. Connor says, oh, yes, we do. They're kids. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Regardless, you folks in Winston-Salem and Greensboro, the illegals are going to be taken care of in first-class accommodations, while many American kids go without. We'll be right back.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
Wow, so the phones have exploded here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in. Let's go to North Carolina WSIC. Chris on the line. All right, Chris, what do? You've got the illegal alien children. Do you take care of them or do you ship them back across the border?
You absolutely ship them back across the border, Todd. And you're basically agreeing with the Biden administration because the game these folks play is the ones that do care about the kids.
Well, I'm not agreeing with the Biden administration. Let me ask you this, Chris. All right, you got a toddler that's been dumped at the border. You just want to kick the child back across on the other side and say good luck?
No, you give it. Yes, sir. You give it to the authorities.
No. That's not what I just said. You've got a baby there. What do? Do you just leave the baby there, and wish it luck, or do you try to get it some help?
On their side, hell, not on our side, because it's not our obligation. Todd, how about all the homeless in New York City and California, the homeless American kids? Who's there picking them up and feeding them and helping them?
No, look, I get it. Well, there's a difference, Chris. There's a difference between being a homeless person and a newborn that's been dumped at the border. Now, you can send that child back, but you got to take care of the child until you can send the child back.
Well, I'm just saying that our taxpayers, we can't pay for them.
No, of course we can't.
And if we allow them to dump their babies on the American soil and say, oh, we'll take care of them, what do you think they're going to do?
All right, Chris, got to run. Thanks for the call, Chris. Got to run. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It's always an honor to have the great governor of South Dakota with us, Governor Kristi Noem. She has an incredible new book, and we're going to talk about that book in just a few moments. Not My First Rodeo. Governor Noem, welcome back to the show.
Oh, man, it's fantastic to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
And first of all, I want to jump into the story of Newsmax reporting that President Biden is still not going to let you guys have fireworks over at Mount Rushmore. Is that true?
It is true, and it is so incredibly devastating for our state because we celebrate freedom and liberty. The Mount Rushmore is so special to us, and the 4th of July is always our time to showcase really great leaders in our past and what they mean to us here in the future. So, yes. And what's interesting, most people say, Chrissy, why do you keep making a big deal over these fireworks? It's a fireworks show. It's really not that important. And I would say to them, the reason that it's important is because the president is violating federal law by not allowing us to have this fireworks show there. And that's what I think is incredible, is that they're being so punitive. We've jumped through all the hoops. We've checked all the boxes. We've met the requirements of the permit that we need to host it. And he's just denying it to be punitive because he doesn't like me or the decisions we're making in the state of South Dakota. So I'm suing him in federal court over it. We will win because we're right. But in the meantime, yes, we won't be able to celebrate at Mount Rushmore, and it's incredibly disappointing for our whole state.
It is disappointing, and I'm with you. I think this is nothing more than he's being mean, and this is some sort of, you know, this is some sort of a punishment, and it's pretty pathetic, if you ask me, especially on Independence Day of all time. Governor, you've also been making some headlines. You have been rock solid pro-life since before you got into politics. I mean, this is who you are. You're just you're part of the pro-life movement, and man, is the left coming after you.
Yeah, they are, and I guess I've just been pretty bold about being clear with the people in this country about what the Supreme Court decision means for us. You know, what the Supreme Court did was to fix a wrong decision that was made almost 50 years ago, and they returned the power back to the states where it should be to make these kinds of laws and really have the decision-making be there at home. So, you know, the extremism, the lies, the hypocrisy of what we're hearing out of liberals and the left over abortion and pro-life and this issue has just been kind of unbelievable to me. The fear that they're trying to instill in people is just wrong. And so I have been doing quite a bit of press and conversations with folks recognizing that, listen, the science and the technology of what we know happens to these babies has changed so much in the last 10 to 15 years. The amount of pain that we know that they feel, the point of conception, what we've learned, it just, even people who aren't religious or didn't grow up in an environment that was pro-life, it's hard to argue with the science. And then you've got doctors today that when they're doing procedures and surgeries on these babies in the womb are calling them patients and giving them patients' rights and treating them as another individual. How do you then turn around in a different conversation and say that that's not a human being? So that's the challenge that this country is going to have to wrestle with when they really decide where they stand at the state level on should abortion be legal or illegal. In South Dakota, it's illegal today except to save the life of a mother. And I think that that's incredible to have a state standing for life the way that our people have.
I completely agree, and you've made some tough decisions, but they've been the right decisions, and you've stood by those. And I think the people of South Dakota and really the nation really respect lawmakers who deliver on their campaign promises, Governor.
Well, I talk about this quite a bit in my book that's being released today, and that it, you know, people don't really understand sometimes about why I make the decisions that I make. And I think hopefully this book will help them understand who I am, the way I grew up, my values, my faith. And they'll really see that when they understand who I am, that they'll understand a little bit more my respect for the Constitution, my love for this country, and why I do the things that I do. People would sometimes put me in a classification of saying that I'm controversial or polarizing, and that's not my nature at all. It's just that we've had such big issues the last several years since I've been governor rise to the surface of this country that I've just been attacked. I've been attacked over and over again, yet not willing to cave to the agenda that they have, and that's created quite a bit of attention.
Let's talk about the book. It's called Not My First Rodeo. And, folks, we have a direct link to it over on our live show blog. You can get it wherever you buy your books, your favorite bookstore. Governor, take us through that process. What's it like growing up on a ranch? I have to imagine that kids that grow up on ranches grow up pretty quickly.
Oh, we, you know, Dad expected us to do things that he never taught us how to do. You know, I tell people all the time, I think I started driving when I was 8 years old. I just driving a semi the first time when I was 12. You know, we had to work with cattle and livestock all the time. We had to figure stuff out. I say the greatest gift my parents gave me and all of us kids growing up was impossible things to do. I mean, just things that you thought as a kid, how am I going to do that? But when we did it, it created and made us problem solvers. It built our confidence that I, you know, if I can do that, I bet I can do anything. And that's really what we're doing in this country is crippling our children by doing everything for them. We should be giving them hard things to do. We should be recognizing that challenges are good for us. They're an opportunity to overperform, an opportunity to build talent we didn't know we had, that stressful and hard situations are ones that make us better. And we're stealing that from our children when we try to protect them from hard things.
I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember growing up as a kid in the 70s, you know, when as soon as you finished breakfast, your mom was like, all right, I don't want to see you till sundown. You know, close the door, go outside and play. And that's how you did things.
Oh, yeah. We would, you know, we had horses. And so there's many times we would go get on our horses as, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds and be gone all day till dark. We'd go to the neighbors, which was 4 or 5 miles away, and meet them halfway and ride or go hunting. Or in the wintertime, we'd meet on snowmobiles. And, you know, it was a wonderful way to grow up. And we just grew up in a way that was very independent, yet very close as a family. And we took care of each other.
You had a pretty tragic experience in your life when your father passed, and you went back to the farm. You're running the farm and the ranch. Take us through that process and that moment.
Well, I had I got married at age 20, so very young, and when I was 22, my dad was killed in an accident on our farm. And at that time, we had one of the larger farm operations in the state. We were probably farming about 10,000 acres, had a cow-calf operation, a lot of feedlots, several different businesses. And he was only 49 years old at the time. And I ended up quitting college and coming home and taking over as general manager and working with my family to try to keep the operation together. We got hit with death taxes, too, within several months of his death. And I just remember being so completely overwhelmed at the fact that we lost this man that held everything together. I had planned on being in business with him the rest of my life, and he was just gone. And then all of a sudden having a federal government law come in and threaten to take our business away, too. We took out a loan to pay those taxes, took us 10 years, and it made me angry that we had this tragedy, and all of a sudden the federal government was threatening our livelihood. So It was a very, very difficult time for us. In fact, at the time Dad died, I was 8 months pregnant. And I think my mom will tell you I did not deal with it well, that all I wanted to do was work. I remember I came home from the hospital with that baby, and we had a blizzard coming, and I asked my brothers if the calves were in the barn and up close to shelter, and they said no, and I left and didn't come home for 2 days. You know, we just were with the cows and taking care of them. And my mom took care of my baby. So I think for that first year or two, that little girl grew up in tractors and pickups. And but also, you know, I think it makes you realize what's valuable. And eventually I did able to grieve my dad. But it's hard when you have things like that happen in your life. Teaches you a lot about yourself, but it also teaches you to rely on your faith.
No, you're right, and I think those lessons, just those early foundational years, really created the person you would become as the governor who really stood up to Washington, D.C., especially during the days of the China virus pandemic.
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of people trying to tell us what to do, and a lot of people not knowing what this unprecedented event was going to do to our country and to the people at home. A lot of folks and healthcare officials that were scared, and then you had people perpetuating that on the national news all the time. So, yeah, I think it was a unique situation, and especially for governors who had to decide what to do in each of their states. I just focused a lot on what my job was. I didn't want to do anything that wasn't my job. I really believed in the fact that the Constitution clearly defined what authority governors have and what authority we didn't have. And we followed that. So it was the only state, South Dakota was the only state that never once closed a single business or didn't even define what essential businesses were, because I don't believe the government has the authority to tell you your business isn't essential, and didn't mandate anything. But it was a firestorm. I was taking heat from all sides, not just the liberals every night on the national news, but even conservatives were saying, what are you thinking? Even people in my state, longtime supporters, were, you got to get in line. This is going to kill you politically. And, you know, it was a little bit of a lonely time. I was so grateful for the support of my family and for a few key people in my administration that when I made a decision, we did it, and I think our state is really benefiting from that today.
Governor Kristi Noem is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Governor, before we let you go, you've got to share one of the funny stories of these barnyard battles with the feisty cows. You got to give us one of those funny stories.
Oh, I tell a story in there about my dad, you know, sending me and my brother over to get a cow in the barn, and her just, you know, she just calved, had a fever, was mean, pretty much wanted to stomp us in the ground. And we were just little kids, and after failing over and over again, we came back and told Dad we just couldn't do it, and that wasn't acceptable. He heads back to the corral, climbs in, had his rubber over boots on, didn't even buckle them because he was so upset with us kids, jumped into that corral, put the cow in a headlock, and tripped on his overshoes, ended up with her kneeling on his chest, rubbing him in the dirt, and we eventually got the cow off of Dad. We thought he was going to be killed, but his response was, well, I had her right where I wanted her until I tripped in my old and we said, sure, Dad. Yeah, you looked like it. I don't know what kind of a man tries to put a cow in a headlock, but he was pretty convinced he had her whipped until he tripped.
That's pretty impressive.
Some of those stories are pretty fun, and they're the ones that will tell you a little bit about my dad's tenacity and how he approached every situation.
Well, Governor, congratulations. This is exciting, and you're going to have a lot of fun out there promoting the book. I know, Not My First Rodeo. Folks, we've got a copy of it over at the website. Governor, congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd. You have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for talking about the book. I hope everybody will enjoy it. It's a book of my life. It's got a few fun political stories in there, too. I think people will enjoy it.
Cannot wait to read it. Governor, again, thank you. Governor Kristi Noem from the great state of South Dakota. And, folks, you can get that book over at toddstearns.com. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
Folks, now more than ever, it is so important that we support companies and organizations that share our values, and that's why we support Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that are fighting for causes we care about. PatriotMobile.com/Todd, that's the website, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. They've got some great discounts for veterans and first responders. Give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a special discount on top of that, along with free premier activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Let's go to the phones here. Cindy in New York. Cindy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Primary day here in New York, and I'm still undecided. First of all, I'd like to tell you how much I love the interview with Carrie and Kristi. She sounded kind of defeated, Kristi Noem there, about the fireworks. And I'm still undecided. We have Astorino, Zeldin, Giuliani, which I don't think, and then Wilson, who I wanted, but I think I'll be throwing my vote away. I'm not sure.
Now, I like Lee Zeldin. You know, Lee has been a friend of this program for years, and of course, Andrew Giuliani's been on a time or two as well. I like Andrew, but Lee Zeldin, I think, has the name recognition, and he's a rock solid conservative, and I think he will play well. You know, he's a member of the Jewish community, and I think he will really rally Democrats who might be Jewish to maybe consider switching parties.
Yeah, and one of the most respected people around here in this area on a radio program is saying that I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Zeldin because I think he will be the one that will beat Hochul in the, you know, election.
In the general election, right. Yeah. So
yeah, the general.
Now,
right.
So I know Rob Astorino, but again, I'm not sure much you know, I'm not sure much name recognition outside of Westchester County.
Right. And Wilson, he's a businessman, so I was going to vote for him, but...
He worked in the Obama administration, that guy.
Oh, geez. All right, never mind then.
Yeah. I can't tell you who to vote for, Cindy. I mean, I like Lee Zeldin. I like Andrew Giuliani, but I were in New York City, Zeldin would be getting my vote.
Okay, thank you, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Cindy, God bless you, and thanks for listening to us on the live stream. You can actually access that over at toddstarnes.com, by the way. All right, stick around, folks. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3. Hang tight, we're going to the phones in just a minute. I want to give you an update on what's happening up on Capitol Hill. There was a surprise eyewitness today, and everybody... Twitter was all a flutter over who that was going to be. Some people thought, I don't know, it was going to be the Queen of England. I don't know. But anyway, now we know who the surprise witness was. Her name is Cassidy Hutchinson. She is an aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. And so she's testifying up there. I'm just going to share with you what she has testified thus far. Ms. Hutchinson says that she overheard President Trump saying he did not care if his supporters had weapons, and suggested he had no issue with them marching to the Capitol armed. Quote, I overheard the president say something to the effect of, I don't blanking care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags. Those are the security portals you have to walk through. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away. So that's what she's alleging, and she's testifying. So if she's lying, she's putting herself in great legal jeopardy. She goes on to say that when she informed Congressman Mark Meadows about what was happening at the Capitol, he, quote, almost had a lack of reaction. She said he was in a secure car. She knocked on the door to tell him that the Capitol was under attack, and he shut the door and left her outside. She said it was a secure vehicle, and he was making a call at the time. So the insinuation is that Mark Meadows knew what was going on, and he was coordinating it in the car. I'm just trying to cut through all of this for you. That's what she's alleging, that there was that the plot was underway. The headline, Meadows almost had a lack of reaction when he heard about violence at the Capitol. She also says that she had received a note from the White House counsel saying that they had to make sure Trump did not walk to the Capitol. So another allegation is that Trump was going to walk to the Capitol after the January 6th address. As a matter of fact, the evidence that was presented were chat logs from the National Security Council from that day, and it provided a minute-by-minute account of how the situation evolved. So Secret Service was telling Trump, don't go, Mr. President. The president wanted to go. At one point, he was going to go, but then somebody made him reconsider. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So the hashtag he knew is now trending on Twitter. And the allegations coming from this ex-aide of Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, is that Trump knew that the protesters were armed. So you can either believe that or not believe that, but that's the testimony that was shared. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the phones here. John has been holding on, listening to us on WHKP in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on this issue of what do you do with these illegal children? The Biden administration is going to be housing hundreds of illegals there in North Carolina in Greensboro at a really plush resort. John, what say you?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, that was news to me about putting them up in Greensboro, but I'm kind of, you know, in tune with what your first caller said. I think, you know, we need to send these people back across the border, naturally shelter them and feed them while they're here, but let's not dilly-daddle. Let's expedite their return across the border.
You see, John, that's what I'm saying. I think that's a passionate approach, but this idea that you're just going to kick the babies right back across the border, I got a problem with that. But I'm with you. I think you feed them, you take care of them, and then send them right back to where they came from.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, President Trump has said, you know, several times, let's vet these people. Let's get the best immigrants possible to come into our country, you know, that can contribute. And, you know, we're just not doing that. And I think if we finish the wall and tell the Border Patrol no more people crossing the border, and I think that'll take care of the problem.
Yeah, John, my greatest concern is that we're not even taking care of American children. And I've got a problem with an American child going hungry while we're lavishing hot meals and free health care on all of these illegal alien children.
Yeah, I know what I do too. I really do. This is the last frontier. This is our home. And, you know, and if we continue this flood, you know, of people crossing over, they're coming over by the millions. And if this continues, and with what the Democrats have got in store for us, we're going to be the third world country. And, you know, this is the last frontier. We don't have anywhere else to go.
No, sir, you're right about that. John, appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Adam in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Adam, what say you?
I totally agree with what you guys just said there a minute ago, because, I mean, if we abandon our children anywhere, we're going to be facing charges and standing tall before somebody real quick and in a hurry. And I totally agree. Feed the kids. Make sure they're good. That's our moral obligation to them. But the real moral obligation is these parents. That's their obligation to raise their children. There is a thing called putting them up for adoption across the world. I mean, people adopt children across the world all the time. So, you know, there's more options than just dropping them off at the border.
Well, and Adam, the big issue here for you folks in North Carolina, I mean, you guys are going to be footing a big chunk of this bill for the next 5 years there at that facility, the Old American Hebrew Academy in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well, that's why I wish that the convention of states would take our authority back.
Yes, sir. And I'm a huge supporter of the Convention of States. Adam, appreciate that call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Anthony in Mississippi on WPMO. And Anthony, I'm heading down to your neck of the woods this weekend. I'll be speaking at Lighthouse Baptist Church and maybe hope to see you and all of our great listeners down there in Theodore, Alabama. Anthony, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So what's on your mind? What do you like to say?
Yeah, I agree with what the gentleman said, that we should send them back. I think we should. The lifeboat is full over here. I mean, they're using up our benefits. You know, we've got people who fought and died, and, you know, we've got Medicare to take care of, Social Security, and, I mean, we're spending too much money as it is. We can't afford it. I mean, even if you put too many people in a lifeboat, what happens? It sinks.
We've got to be able to take care of our own, Anthony, and that has to happen. And if you don't, we are going to end up being a third world country, and that's my concern. We're talking about millions of people that are coming across that border.
I know, and we can't afford it. We don't, you know, it's too much. But you know, we have so many problems. I mean, that's just one of them. I don't know if that would. It seems like it's unsolvable. It's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yes, sir. And they want it that way, Anthony. I mean, look, there was that horrible tragedy yesterday where you had, 50 people that were killed. They were stuffed inside that tractor trailer. It was the burning heat. They suffocated. Those people died horrific deaths. We haven't heard anything from the administration. Nobody's wanting to talk about this. But as Governor Greg Abbott said, those deaths are on the Biden administration. They're the ones that opened this border. They're the ones that are inviting people and encouraging people to come into this country illegally. And as a result, you've got dozens and dozens of people that are losing their lives, not just in the backs of these trucks, but according to the Fox News reporting, you've got dozens of people that have drowned trying to cross the Rio Grande River.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
They don't care. And also, look at the lives in communities that are being ruined by the drugs that are coming in. That's another problem that they don't seem to be interested in solving.
As long as that border is open, we have no American sovereignty. And every single day, we are watching our country become more and more destabilized. And you're right about the drug situation, Anthony. That is a major problem that the Biden administration doesn't want to talk about. Got to run, my friend, and hope to see you Sunday there at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Theodore, Alabama. Even MSDNC gets it. This is Willie Geist. Cut number 8, please.
Special election just a couple of weeks ago down along a border district, a place where a Republican hadn't won in a very long time, and a Republican took that district. So there, we've talked about this with progressive pollsters, by the way, who say this idea that Latino voters in America are all in and they have this open mind and they'll go with Democrats wherever they go on immigration is just wrong. It's just folly, and it's not true, and it's patronizing in many ways to make those assumptions. So yeah, Democrats will have to reassess, because some of them may not want to use the word crisis, but it's exactly what it is down along the border when you have Customs and Border Patrol having 7,000, 8,000 encounters and apprehensions a day on the border. That is a crisis, and it bore its ugly teeth yesterday, Mika, when we saw the story and the images and hearing exactly how those poor people looking for a better life died in the back of a semi-truck.
It's disgusting. And all of this could have been prevented. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we have something in this country. And I know this is, again, we deal in facts on this radio show, and it really irritates a lot of people. But you know what? That's all we can do. Work with the facts we have. And here's the fact. We have something called legal immigration. If you want to come to America, you can do just that. All you have to do is fill out the paperwork, and you have to follow the procedures, follow the policies. And you're able to come to this country and live the American dream. But you've got millions of people that don't want to do that. Nobody wants to talk about the legal immigrants, the people waiting in line to get here legally. They don't want to talk about those people. Those people don't count. Those people don't matter anymore. And I say they do. I say they do. All right, 844-747-8868. We're going to go right to the phones. I got to take a break. Got to tell you about our friends over at Life Change Tea. They're having a big summer sale. Buy three, get one free. And I love this iced tea. It's amazing. It's natural. It just tastes wonderful. I drink it every day. It's the right combination of 12 herbs, comes in 3 delicious flavors. You get natural, peppermint, pomegranate. I'm a huge peppermint guy. Life Change Tea has been around since 2007. It's made right here in the USA. It's super easy to brew. I just keep a pitcher in my fridge, and I drink a glass every single day. Folks, all you need to do is go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code Todd10. That's discount code Todd10. And they're going to give you $10 off plus free shipping. That's, $50 in savings. It's a great deal. GetTheTea.com. Use the code Todd and the number 10, and you're going to get $10 off plus free shipping. We'll be right back.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
All right, we're getting some new intel on this Cassidy Hutchison. She's the surprise mystery last-second witness. Deep throat. This woman, very suspect now. Turns out, new information coming out. Again, she was so horrified, terrified by the president's behavior, allegedly. You know what she did? She asked for a job after she left the White House. So who in their right mind, if you actually think the president of the United States tried to stage an insurrection, you're going to go and work for the person? I don't buy it. Something smells fishy about this lady. By the way, this reporting, the January 6th committee says that police identified people in the crowd on January 6th that marched on the Capitol, and they were carrying firearms, including AR-15s. Again, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much fertilizer spewing out of this committee, I could plant an entire crop of butter beans right here in the studio. So here's a question. If, in fact, this is true, if, in fact, the Capitol Police actually saw that people were in that crowd and they had guns, they had AR-15s, why didn't they arrest anybody? Why didn't they confiscate the guns? Now, let's just say this is true for a moment. Let's just say that the reporting is true and that people in the crowd had AR-15s. So the police, we are to believe that the police turned a blind eye and did nothing to stop these people who were breaking the law in Washington, D.C. by walking around in public with AR-15s. If that's the case, why aren't the police officers in jail? Do you see what a sham committee this is? Because nobody's asking these questions. They're making these statements and they're being accepted at face value as the gospel truth. I want to see proof. I want to see evidence. By the way, we still don't know who dropped off those package bombs outside of the RNC and DNC headquarters. Well, we know, but they're not willing to say. Three letters, FBI. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ted in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Now, Ted, I understand you are a legal immigrant. Is that true?
Well, my wife is.
All right. And where did she come from?
Well, I met her in the Republic of Kazakhstan. That was about 22 years ago. We've been married for 22 years. It took me 2 years to get her into the country. I had to make a couple of trips to the embassy in Moscow, which is not the same country as Kazakhstan. I had to make a couple of trips to the American embassy in Almaty, Kazakhstan. It took me 2 years, cost me thousands of dollars to do this. She had to have affidavits, doctor's examinations, chest x-rays. All of these things had to be done over a period of time. They make it difficult, if not near impossible, for some people from Europe and Central Asia to get into this country. And it's been like this at least for 22 years that I've known about it. And it really terribly bothers people that have come here legally and have gone through the process. It bothers them that there are two standards of law in this country. One is, you know, they make everyone from Europe, Central Asia, et cetera, to go through all these, to go through this process, but they allow people to come across the border with no checks, you know, no backgrounds, no medical examinations or anything. And it's been like this for a long time through several administrations.
Now,
and,
Ted, here, I'm going to stop you here for a second. Ted, yeah, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so I want you to hang on. Can you hold on over the break? Because I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, I can do that, certainly.
All right, so we're going to let's put Ted on hold. Ted's illegal. His wife is a legal immigrant. It took him 2 years to come here legally, and they had to go through all sorts of tests and hoops and whatnot. Meanwhile, you've got millions of illegal aliens that are just crossing the border. And then we're taking care of everything. They want for nothing. 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
All right, this testimony is bonkers nutso up on Capitol Hill. We're going to get to more of that in just a moment. But I want to go back to Ted in Statesville, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Now, Ted's wife is from the Soviet Union. She came to this country legally. And Ted, I'm curious, as your wife is a legal immigrant, what's her reaction been to the illegals that are just pouring across our southern border?
She's been quite angry about that, and everyone that she knows that immigrated is also angry. And you'll really love this. Now, her mother and father immigrated from Kazakhstan to Russia back sometime around 2004, 2005. So my father-in-law is now deceased, but my mother-in-law was in her 80s. My wife right now is trying to arrange for her mother to immigrate to this country. Would you believe they want my 80-some-year-old mother-in-law to produce a document from Kazakhstan stating that she has no criminal record in Kazakhstan and she hasn't lived there in over 15 years?
Wow.
And, you know, and the thing that I never hear talked about is the fact that there is a lottery from these countries. If you want to come into this country from one of those countries, you have to enter a lottery, and there's no guarantee you'll get in. And it's been like that for a long time.
Ted, why not just fly him into Tijuana and have him sneak across the border right there in San Diego?
Well, I think, you know, you and I both know that that's not lawful, and that's not something that we as Christians intend to do. But, you know, it's just been a constant frustration for us all these years and for other people that want to come here, that want to come here legally. You know, and there's another aspect of this, too, is that the countries that they're coming from, whether it be Kazakhstan, Russia, or Ukraine, those countries don't want their people to leave because most of the people trying to leave are well-educated, and it's a brain drain situation for them.
It's so, a fair point, but again, I feel bad, Ted, for people like you and your wife's family who are trying to do the right thing. You're abiding by the laws of the land, and yet these illegals are not only violating the law, but they're being given everything they need, housing, health care, food, clothing, you name it, while American citizens have to go to work to pay those bills.
Yes, and you know, the President Trump tried to fix the problem, and he was they constantly fought against him over that, called him all kinds of names. And, you know, and I'm sure he was very much aware of this kind of problem and very much aware that the system isn't fair. You know, I believe, and I'm sure President Trump believed, that everybody should have to follow the same rules.
Ted, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate you calling in and giving us your perspective. I think this really resonates with a lot of people, Ted, that, you know, you're out there, your wife did the right thing, and meanwhile, you've got all these others that are not. And it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So I want to go back to this hearing. Cassidy Hutchison is the mystery guest today. So she is testifying. She is the ex aide to Mark Meadows, who was then Trump's chief of staff. And she's making all these allegations, but we also know that she applied, after all this was over, she actually applied to work for President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. What does that say about her character? So anyway, here's Cassidy Hutchison just a few moments ago.
Relayed to him, we're not. You don't have the assets to do it. It's not secure. We're going back to the West Wing. The president had very strong, a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
All right, there you go. That's the testimony just moments ago. And also she had something to say about Kayleigh McEnany, who was then the White House press secretary. Let's listen to that.
When we got back to the White House, he said he wanted to physically walk with the marchers. And according to my notes, he then said he'd be fine with just riding the beast. But to best my recollection, he wanted to be a part of the march in some fashion.
All right. We're getting some new word here that she's testifying. Hutchison is testifying that there were people with weapons like guns, AR-15s in the crowd. But again, nobody was arrested that day. Nobody was arrested for any sort of gun possession charge. CNN is now reporting, quote, this is a bombshell. Trump aides were left speechless during the first half of Cassidy Hutchison's testimony, saying, quote, this is a bombshell. It's stunning. It's shocking. The story about the beast, I don't have words. It's just stunning. It paints a picture of Trump completely unhinged and completely losing all control, for which his base, they think of him as someone who is in command at all times. This completely flies in the face of that. I'm curious. Do you believe this woman's testimony? I mean, right now, it's really hearsay. I'm not seeing where she's providing any concrete evidence. And again, if this is true, why would Mark Meadows not speak up and speak out and condemn the president? I know Mark Meadows. I've known him for a number of years. He's a good, decent, honorable man. He's a Christian man. He's a straight shooter. I can't imagine that Mark Meadows would have stood by and gone along with any of this. So that's why I doubt this woman's testimony. And again, if it was that bad, why would you apply for a job to work for Donald Trump if, in fact, he was as horrible a person that you allege he is in your testimony? Another Trump staffer who asked not to be named says, quote, this is basically a campaign commercial for Ron DeSantis 2024. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Again, this is hearsay. Here's one of the headlines. Hutchison heard Proud Boys and Oath Keepers mentioned leading up to January the 6th. It's all hearsay. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Angie in Georgia, WDUN. Angie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, thanks for calling or taking my call. I know I'm on a time frame here. I just have two questions, okay? First of all, this illegal immigrant, I'm begging, I have been calling, my husband and I and all the citizens of Georgia have been calling the FBI, the CIA, the immigrant people, We have no problem with legal immigrants in this country. My mother came from Italy and had to take all the tests to become a citizen. It took her 8 years to become a citizen back in the day. We have a flea market up here that is changed from Pendergrass Flea Market, and if you cannot find one illegal immigrant in that market, then nope. However, the section that I have is why in the state of California did they just let two illegal immigrant drug traffickers go on their own recognizance with 150 fentanyl pills that the sheriff didn't know anything about, nor did the district attorney?
Look, it's
they want to take our guns.
Yes.
They want to take our guns. So if we change our name to Suelo, whatever, start trafficking, we're not going to get in trouble.
Angie, we got a bad phone signal there, so my apologies, but you're just popping in and out there. But no, Angie, look, I can understand why Angie's frustrated, folks. There's one set of rules for us, the law-abiding taxpayers, and another set for the illegal aliens. And we have demonstrated that over and over and over and over again. By the way, I want to get to this audio. This is a bit lengthy, but you need to hear this. So John Eastman was a lawyer who lobbied for Mike Pence to declare President Trump the winner of the 2020 election. So he's been caught up in this big investigation. He was leaving a restaurant when the feds descended upon him. I mean, they read him the Riot Act. He was on Tucker Carlson's show last night. I want you to listen to this interview.
So the January 6th committee has nothing to do with January 6th. The point of it is to punish the political opponents of the Biden administration and to make certain Donald Trump doesn't run again. And they're doing it with the assistance of the so-called Justice Department, as run by Joe Biden. So already the committee, speaking of Stalinist overreach, has had Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro arrested, neither of whom committed any crime. They've also had the Fed search the home of a former DOJ official called Jeffrey Clark, who we spoke to last week. Then on Wednesday, the FBI showed up to seize the phone of a former Trump attorney called John Eastman. Now, critically and illegally, they seized his phone before they presented him with a warrant, and it's on tape. Watch.
Sir, go ahead and put your arms off for me.
Can I see the warrant?
Sir, put your arms off for me.
Can I see the warrant, please? I'd like to see the warrant. I'd like to see the warrant. I'd like to see the warrant.
You see the warrant, sir?
I'd like to see the warrant before you take my property.
Sir, there's up the warrant right now, sir. It's right on.
Here, this is the warrant.
All right. I want you to see that they took my property before providing me with the warrant. I'd like to read the warrant.
Disgraceful. Wearing his little mask, put your hands up as if Eastman is a threat. He's not. He's a lawyer. As you just saw, he's under subpoena from the, speaking of illegitimate, wholly illegitimate, Pelosi-Liz Cheney-led January 6th committee. Mr. Eastman joins us tonight. John Eastman, thank you so much for joining us tonight. What exactly did you do wrong to be treated like a dangerous criminal by your government that you pay for?
Well, we don't know because the warrant doesn't say. It authorizes them to seize my phone and all the information contained in the phone. But there's no indication of any crime that this is connected to. That's apparently in an affidavit, but the affidavit wasn't attached to the warrant. The Fourth Amendment's very clear here. When they search and seize your property, they have to give a particular description of the things to be seized. And saying it's identified in the affidavit, if they don't attach the affidavit, doesn't qualify. The courts have been very clear about that. So this warrant is invalid on its face. But more importantly, and I think this is extremely important, the authority to seize all of my information in modern smartphones, that's access to all my private financial records. I'm an attorney. It's access to all my privileged communications with nearly 100 different clients that I have currently. This stuff is what we used to call a general warrant that the British King issued to just go rummage through somebody's belongings to see if they could find evidence of some crime. The very reason we have the Fourth Amendment is to prevent that kind of abuse, and yet that's what they're doing here.
And it's just another reminder to anyone who didn't vote for Joe Biden to erase your texts and emails every single day. And that is a sincere piece of advice I hope everyone follows. But they haven't charged you with a crime. They've given you no evidence that they're going to charge you with a crime, but they treat you like a drug kingpin or a rapist. and seize your phone. Is this legal?
Well, I don't think so. And they forced me in the position. Look, as an attorney, I have ethical obligations to do everything I can to protect the privileged communications with my clients. So we will be filing a motion. It's called a Rule 41 motion to retrieve my phone, to retrieve any information they've taken off of that phone that they have illegally seized from me. And we'll be doing that in short order. But you know, what they're doing, the other thing they're doing is they're forcing those of us that, you know, don't bow the knee to the Biden administration to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees trying to protect our constitutional rights and those of our clients. So let me ask people, givesendgo.com/Eastman, help us fight this abuse. We've got to stand together to fight against this.
So you're doing for yourself what the Republican Congress should be doing for you, which is so
distressing.
Well,
they should, but you know what?
Godspeed.
I think people have had it. Thank you very much, Tucker.
All right. That's what the Biden Justice Department is doing. I mean, they're hunting everybody down. So, by the way, here we go. Here's the latest now from this hearing. Folks, this is just laughable. So here's the latest news. This junior staffer of Mark Meadows is now telling the committee that President Trump attacked a Secret Service agent and tried to take control of the presidential limo. And they're eating this stuff up. I mean, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
Well, the good news here, Grace Baker, is our friend Jack Posobiec pointed out it is physically impossible to do what the junior aide is alleging Trump did in the limo.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he can't. There's like a barrier. So the president can't lunge. So she's alleging that the president attacked the Secret Service agent, lunged for the steering wheel.
This is a lot.
And tried to commandeer the presidential limo.
I saw somebody said this is Amber Heard 2.0.
Oh,
like,
my
perhaps.
Gosh. Yeah, well, Amber Heard is more believable.
Well, I mean, she is an actress. It's kind of her job.
Yeah, this one's not a very good actress. And you can tell by the body language.
Just squirming.
That, there may be a little. But nobody's refuting any of this. They're accepting this as the God's honest truth.
Yeah, I don't know about her.
Trump says it's just not true. The president releasing a statement. We've got it up on the website. Again, the president, I'll read this statement to you, posting it on Truth Social. He says that she's a total phony and a leaker. He says, I hardly know who this person is, other than I heard very negative things about her, a total phony and leaker. And when she requested to go with certain others of the team to Florida, after having served a full term in my office, I personally turned her request down. Why did she want to go with us if she felt we were so terrible? This is a great question, right, Grace Baker? It just seems to me that she was horrified by all of this.
Yes.
And it's like, can I have a job?
But I'd really like to come work for you. Maybe it was the beaches in Florida. Maybe she just really wanted to be in Florida.
Maybe, just maybe, she's upset, and maybe she's wanting payback now.
That's true, because she was turned down.
She was rejected.
Mm.
I mean, could be.
Ouch.
That's terrible. Is today really International Caps Lock Day?
Yes, it is. I thought of you, Todd.
I do type in all caps.
You do like to type in
all caps. I didn't realize that was screaming, though. So if you're typing in all caps, you're actually screaming at somebody.
It's like, hey, Grace! I'm like, no need to shout. No need to shout.
I didn't realize. So it turns out that the caps lock guy was created by Derek Arnold, a software developer from Iowa.
There you go.
I wonder if Cassidy Hutchinson uses the caps lock.
She probably does.
Probably. All right. We're going to keep an eye on this bizarre testimony And we'll have updates, stories over at ToddStearns.com and complete analysis tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.